The Xiaomi CPU story has the highest comment count of anything we're covering today, with 639 comments. The benchmark data cited by Daniel Lemire on Twitter shows Xiaomi's new processor. The details on which specific chip aren't entirely confirmed, but it appears to be a custom ARM-based design, achieving single-threaded performance comparable to Apple's M-series cores, while significantly outpacing them in multi-threaded workloads.
I want to be careful with the sourcing here because the benchmark data is coming through a Twitter post from Lemire, who is a credible researcher at the University of Quebec. But the underlying data hasn't been independently reproduced at scale yet. The HN thread is doing exactly the right thing. People are asking for methodology, asking which specific benchmarks, and noting that single-threaded comparisons are very sensitive to which operations you test. Integer performance, floating point, memory latency, these can tell very different stories.
All of that is fair, and the thread reflects it. But even accounting for measurement variance, the direction of the signal is significant. 2 years ago, the working assumption in the industry was that Apple Silicon represented a performance tier that Chinese chip designers were 5 to 7 years behind. If Xiaomi has genuinely closed the single-threaded gap on Apple's best cores, that timeline was wrong.
The geopolitical framing here is important. The US has imposed increasingly strict export controls on advanced semiconductors and chip-making equipment sold to China, specifically on the theory that restricting access to high-end fab technology would slow China's semiconductor progress. These benchmarks, if they hold up, suggest that restriction has not prevented competitive performance from being achieved, possibly because the restriction accelerated domestic investment rather than simply causing a capability deficit.
There's a classic economic dynamic at work there. When you cut off one supply chain, you either create a dependency or you create motivation. The US bet on dependency. The data right now suggests some combination of architectural innovation and domestic fab improvement has produced motivation instead.
The multi-threaded advantage is actually the more strategically interesting number. Apple's M-series chips are optimized for energy-efficient single-threaded performance, which is why they dominate laptop battery life benchmarks. If Xiaomi's chip is faster in multi-core workloads, it's targeting a different use case: servers, workstations, and high-throughput computing. That's a direct challenge to the data center market, not just the consumer device market.
Which brings us naturally to C5's first server platform. Chips and Cheese, which is one of the most rigorous hardware analysis blogs in the space, published a detailed breakdown of C5's new server offering. A RISC-V-based platform designed explicitly for data center workloads. RISC-V is an open instruction set architecture, meaning anyone can implement it without paying licensing fees, which is why it's attracted significant investment from entities that want architectural independence from x86 and ARM.
The chips and cheese analysis is characteristically thorough. The performance numbers for C5's platform are behind current x86 and ARM server chips, which is expected for a first-generation design. What the analysis emphasizes is the memory bandwidth, the I/O architecture, and the software ecosystem maturity. And on those axes, the picture is more competitive than raw compute suggests.
The software ecosystem is the long pole in the tent for RISC-V server adoption. The Linux kernel support is solid. The compiler toolchain is solid. Where things get complicated is in the layer above that: cloud-native frameworks, database systems, JVM performance, anything that has been heavily optimized for x86 over the last 20 years. Each of those requires profiling and tuning for RISC-V, and that work is ongoing.
The show HN entry for Thor-O Basic, a basic interpreter that boots directly on UEFI machines, is a delightful sidebar to the hardware conversation. The creator, Gorsifound, built a full BASIC environment that runs as a UEFI application, meaning it loads before the operating system at the firmware level. It's a homage to the era when computers booted directly into BASIC, before operating systems became the mandatory intermediary. The HN comments are full of people who remember Commodore 64 boot screens and Apple Roman II BASIC with genuine nostalgia.
What's technically interesting about it beyond the nostalgia is that writing a UEFI application requires working within a very constrained and peculiar environment. You don't have a kernel, you don't have standard library support, you're calling EFI services directly. Building a basic interpreter in that environment is a non-trivial systems programming exercise. The CL4 security proof story connects here. CL4 is a formally verified microkernel, meaning every aspect of its behavior has been mathematically proven correct. The announcement from Proofcraft Systems is that the full security proof is now complete on a ARCH64, the 64-bit ARM architecture. This is significant because a ARCH64 is the architecture running in most mobile devices, most ARM servers, and most Apple Silicon machines.
Formal verification is one of those areas where the HN community has deep expertise, and the thread on the CL4 proof is reflecting that. The distinction people are drawing is between the code is correct and the proof is complete. Formal verification proves the latter, which implies the former within the proof's stated assumptions. The assumptions matter. CL4's proof covers the kernel itself, but not device drivers or user space software, which are where most real-world vulnerabilities actually live.
That's the right caveat. But a verified kernel as a foundation for security-critical systems, military hardware, medical devices, automotive control systems, is genuinely valuable even with that limitation. You've eliminated an entire class of kernel-level exploits by construction.